from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Here we go. We have more for you on this particular draft class. We're going to talk with Seth here in a little bit about his newfound defensive tackle familial relationship here in Colin Saunders. He's got his review up and we're going to go through it here. But now, we talked about the running back situation yesterday with the new guys that came in both in the draft and in UDFA. But we wanted to talk about Mecole Hardman as well, because a lot of work's been done on him. And we were lucky enough to get Matt Waldman to stick around with us a little bit longer. So, Chris, what is it that you wanted to ask him?
I want to shift over a little bit, though, and talk about Hardman. Because I know he wasn't very highly, you didn't have him very highly rated, but I do want to get your thoughts on him and where he can fit in this offense, as opposed to a guy that I think you had a little bit higher rated in Paris Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to seen Paris Campbell here, but I had him highly rated before what happened with Hill. So before what we saw in the news. So I was thinking more Campbell as a guy who might eventually replace Sammy Watkins, because we have these constant concerns with Sammy Watkins being able to stay healthy and on the field. And as a result of that, I thought you could use Campbell in the slot a little, also on the outside. And he's a guy that a lot of people consider raw, but I think a lot of it is more inexperienced, or maybe not inexperienced is the word. Yeah, maybe inexperience would be the word, in terms of the type of offense that he played in. They used him a lot on crossing routes, some deep corner routes, but, you know, screen passes, swing passes, things like that. But when you watch him actually run routes that demand hard breaks, and he didn't do it a lot, but when he did, he had an excellent drive step. He could drop his weight really well. And that's so paramount to being able to run timing routes. So the fact that he already does that well versus guys who may run those type of routes but don't do it well enough at all, and may have been graded a little bit higher than him, just gives you an idea that this guy has a good foundation to his game. And just because he didn't get targeted deep doesn't mean he can't get deep, doesn't mean he can't track the ball. Dwayne Haskins missed a number of throws in terms of even just being able to target him, where he was working wide open downfield just because Haskins didn't see the pre-snap option. I really like Campbell, but when you look at Mecole Hardman, what's interesting about him is that he's even less experienced than Campbell, because he was a quarterback in high school and basically came to Georgia and converted to a wide receiver position, and kind of more of like a hybrid wide receiver scat back type of deal. And it's very similar to kind of Tyreek Hill in terms of that story, you know, very fast, excellent kick returner, maybe not completely, you know, not as refined as you would normally like to see from a wide receiver. But listen, you know, one of the things that Georgia did with him repeatedly was target him up the seam, up the flats, in the middle of the field, in the intermediate and deep ranges of the field, where he could either catch the ball with his back to the quarterback, or be in a situation where he could turn back to the passer and make the catch and do it in tight coverage and win the ball. So it gives you an idea that the athletic ability, that the tracking, that the comfort against tight coverage is there. And those are difficult things to teach. I mean, if you don't have those things, you can be a great athlete. You can run good routes. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, I hate to say this, but you know, some of you guys watching camp probably this summer are going to find this out about Sammy Coates, you know, in terms of his skills, is that he has difficulty tracking certain passes. And that's why he went from being on the all freak team as a, you know, an Auburn star to bouncing around to 3 to 4 different teams already at this stage. And that's a very difficult thing to learn. Mecole Hardman doesn't have that issue. The thing with him is you want to see him get a little bit cleaner with routes. You also want to see him do a better job of situations that are kind of off script or more difficult, where he has to be a little more creative with the ball in the air against tight coverage to earn position and win plays. When he has to do that, it's not quite there. So to me, he was kind of a guy who, if you put him in the right offense, and this is the right offense, you put him in that right offense, he can be a starter for you and be a big play threat and be versatile for you. But will he have the kind of opportunity to develop into, I would say, an elite receiver. And I'm skeptical. Like, to me, it's kind of like, prove it to me that you can get to that next level. Because every time you had an opportunity to make a next level catch, that, as I described, I just didn't see it from him. Whereas with Tyreek Hill, you know, we started to see that from him early on in his career. You know, once he got to Kansas City, even when, you know, he was still kind of, you know, developing at this stage. So, you know, it's not out of the question for Mecole Hardman, but there's a little more to prove in his game for someone to look at him and say that his ceiling is on the level of being a Pro Bowl player or an elite wide receiver. He might just be more of a really good functional cog who can be productive in the offense. And to me, it's kind of like what maybe fans hoped DeAnthony Thomas would give to the Chiefs, more than just, you know, receiving an occasional end arounds and things like that. I think that he's kind of more in between. I mean, I need to give you better players than, because it's a wide gulf between DeAnthony Thomas, and Tyreek Hill, but he's in between those guys. And I would say a little closer to Tyreek Hill.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I get what you're saying. And you look at the role that Hardman can play. Obviously with the Hill situation, we think that he's obviously going to be gone. And there is really no replacing Tyreek Hill. He is a very unique talent. But bringing in a guy like Hardman that has the speed to do a lot of the same things. And one thing that you said that he's going to need to work on is cleaning up his routes. That's something that you can learn. But you also said that he's already pretty good at tracking the ball and having the athletic ability to get in the right position to catch the ball. And those are things that are harder to learn. So to me, it sounds like what you're saying is he has the ability to not necessarily be a Tyreek Hill type player, but as you said, be a very functional starter. And if you pair that with Patrick Mahomes, I think you're going to be in for maybe a very good player.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think you're right. And I think that one of those things is that, you know, the routes aren't bad. I mean, like, speed breaks are pretty easy, but those hard breaks working back to the quarterback are going to have to get a little bit better. Certain types of ways to read, certain coverages he's going to have to learn to read or get better at and get sharper at are certainly going to have to come. And then also just working against press coverage, because you didn't see a lot of that. Most teams are, you know, going to be scared to death of facing him in the college game of really pressing him and playing him tight. Whereas in the NFL, they're not going to have a problem with that at all.
Well, that's a good spot for a break. Why don't we take that? We'll come back and talk about how they can integrate Hardman into this offense. Hiring is hard for everyone, whether it's finding an audio editor or video cameraman, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, and a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to do it. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a great quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn, and you can try it for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And I like where you're going there, Matt, because as we leave off with Hardman, you didn't see a whole lot of press in college, but you have to think that that fear factor is going to be something that plays into just how much cushion they give him.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a situation too, where you have to kind of pick your poison when it comes to Hardman. Now, when you think about him in the lineup with Sammy Watkins, who can get off press coverage, with Travis Kelce, who you really don't want to play tight. And then you can add, you know, any of the other players that you want in terms of what they can offer, whether it's, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, who had a really strong preseason and maybe will get a chance to really step up and develop into the player that, you know, you've seen in flashes. And so when you put all that together, you know, they're going to be able to, they still have enough weapons here as long as Watkins and Kelce stay healthy enough that they can move Hardman in situations where he's not going to get pressed and where it's going to be a real, it's going to be a real difficult situation for them. And I'm just going to add this here and just kind of just, you know, quick little note and say, there's another player that's pretty good. There's a couple other players that I really like on the Chiefs roster, by the way, who I think can develop. And one of them is Byron Pringle, who I thought was an excellent route runner. And if he can improve the way that he, his techniques at attacking the football, you may really have something there with his game. And he fits extremely well for what the Chiefs want to do in terms of an athlete. And then there, you know, one of the other guys that they added to the mix is Cody Thompson, who is a special teams maven. But if he's one of those guys that he flashes as a slot receiver in a way that it would be fascinating to see if he can maintain consistency and if some of the issues that he had that weren't good could get better in terms of his overall health, because he had some health issues at Toledo that he looked almost like a different player at times before the injury. And if he can get back to, you know, what he was, he could be a compelling player that you may be looking back on 2 to 3 years from now and going, wow, that was really a great pick. But you guys were just looking for a special teams guy in him.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting too. And that was my thought as well. It was really up and down for the film that I saw of Thompson, but he was on my list as a guy that maybe could come in and play a role. Again, I like what you said about the slot. Well, I guess we'll see how it plays out, but want to say again, thanks, Matt, especially for letting us con you into coming back and doing a second day. Your insight is invaluable, and we can't appreciate you coming on this show any more than we already do.
Hey, thank you. It's certainly my pleasure.
And we're going to get Matt back here in the offseason, talk a little bit of fantasy, talk about some other things, especially after we know what shakes out with some of these players that we know he's real keen on. So look for that later in the summer, and we're going to switch over. Seth and I got to talking about the defensive linemen, and we had to squeeze some of this in today, too. So why don't we take a look at that? And so, you know, we had to get back, and we have to revisit what we talked about earlier. And so Seth's back with us. And, you know, I don't know if it was adoption or what, but you have somebody new in your life, don't you?
I do. This is a big deal. When my 40-year-old adult son, Mitch Morse, moved to Buffalo, you know, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. $11 million a year. It's a lot of money. I'd move for $11 million a year, too.
Sure.
But, you know, it was tough being an empty nester. I didn't expect it at 34. You know what I mean? And so, hey, I've had people asking me all offseason, who's your new son going to be? People have made suggestions. I've tried to tell them, you know, I don't find them. That's not how this works. You eventually just have a large adult son. And I have one, and his name is not Kalen, it's Colin Saunders.
Oh, I think I've heard of him before.
Yes.
That's nice.
You or Mr. Sweetfeet. I don't know if that's actually.
Oh, is that what we're going with? I like that.
I don't know, but I think maybe it should, because that man's got some sweet feet. I made it through his college stuff. And there's a pretty big article up on The Athletic about the stuff that I saw. One great thing was there were some snaps I was able to look at from the Senior Bowl, which is helpful. I didn't go back. I'm going to admit I didn't go back and watch all the clips of the practices. I didn't. But I did read some of the practice reviews, and I mean, he was a Senior Bowl riser. I mean, he made himself some money there.
Got himself drafted.
He did. And because, you know, otherwise that's always the question with these small school guys is, can they handle it when the competition steps up? And like Tano Passanio helped himself a lot at the Senior Bowl, and that hasn't panned out. On the flip side, sometimes you have guys like Eric Fisher, you know, who, you know, some fans still call for his head, whatever, but I mean, he's developed into a fine left tackle. And, yep. And so, I mean, there's a back and forth history there, but the reality is if you're a small school guy and you can crush it at the Senior Bowl, it helps you a lot. And the other good thing is that they played NDSU. And that's very helpful because it's a high quality program.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to get SEC competition at that level, but the closest you can get. And I will say this: if you get a chance and you get some of the practice footage from the Senior Bowl, go watch him jack the heck out of Garrett Bradbury, who went what 50 or 60 picks before him.
Really
dominated.
Really? And that's, I might take a look at that because I'm guessing I could find that on YouTube. Those things are always available.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was told. I mean, it's just, he consistently dominated those one-on-one drills. And yeah, he's got a lot to like. So I was curious, have you watched his film yet at all?
I've watched bits and pieces. I haven't gone and looked at his actual full films, but I record the Senior Bowl practices every year and go through them all. So nice. I saw mostly his level of competition there. And that's when he first stood out to me that, yes, despite Western Illinois, he can hang with the big boys.
Yeah. And that's so that's just so important. Seeing that he can do that with the level of competition and all that stuff. But really, even if he didn't have that going for him, I think if you watched him, you would see there are some really specific skills that he's got.
Ooh.
That, I mean, he just, in regardless of quality of competition, the way he moves, that is a universal thing. It just doesn't matter who you're up against. It's kind of like when you watch a wide receiver, you know, make a fantastic one-handed catch. Quality of competition doesn't come into, you know, that's not part of the issue there, right?
Right. That's a geometry thing.
Right. And I think what he does, it's like a physics thing. Most dudes his size cannot move like that man can move.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you grabbed one of my favorite clips, I think, because I did read through the article, even though I've studied him a bit. Folks, y'all have to. So, but that clip that you had of him standing out playing a defensive end, stand out outside linebacker.
Right.
And is that where you got the sweet feet thing from? Because when he jab steps and comes back inside, I mean,
come on, from the edge, right?
You're right.
That's
right?
Just like, come on, what are you doing? I mean, it's just crazy though. I mean, yeah, he stands up. He's in a 2-point stance from the edge. And I mean, he just, it's so impressive in that it's not, it doesn't even look hard, right?
It's smooth.
Yeah, it's just smooth and it's natural and it's consistent. And he can do it from outside and inside. And the thing is, you know, I've had people like, cause he's not, and you and I have talked about this, he's not Derek Nnadi strong. Nnadi is like, I mean, that dude, when he plants his feet, he's like Groot, man. He ain't going anywhere. But, you know, Saunders doesn't quite have that, but he's got a very powerful upper body from what I saw.
Well, and he uses his hands well from the film that I've watched, particularly the Senior Bowl, but the two other chunks of film that I saw. And it's not just power moves. I've seen him long arm. He's got a nice little slap and rip kind of thing. He's got a swim. Yep. What else am I missing?
And I didn't think he had a huge variety, but he's got a nice, like within slap swims and slap rips, he's got a few different versions of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very impressive. I didn't see him test out a lot of the long arm. I think those are new things he was working on, but he's got very heavy hands and a lot of power in his upper body and shoulders and arms. And again, where his power's lacking, I think, and you see this come through sometimes, is his lower body.
Okay.
But you know, you just never know how someone will respond to being in a pro weight room and being taught by pros. And now, I mean, you know, getting to work with Chris Jones and getting to work with a guy like LDT on the interior, I think that will really help in terms of you got to refine, because LDT is quick, man.
Yep.
You're not just going to run by him.
Well, and that's what I think Saunders has going for him is his quick steps.
Oh,
He can penetrate and get himself angles that he can get into gaps. And I think that particular practice matchup with LDT is going to be, you know, iron on iron.
Absolutely. That's so important to be able to sharpen one another. And so I'm excited because I understand, you know, he's built similar to Nnadi. I don't think he's a one tech nose tackle like Nnadi. I would be surprised if he got a ton of snaps there unless Spagnuolo even has his one tech nose tackle doing a lot of penetrating.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then Saunders is perfect for it. Even though, again, you know, he's just not going to be as strong at the point of attack as Nnadi, but there are very few pros, in my opinion, that are like Nnadi when Nnadi decides he's not going anywhere, the dude has cement in his feet. I mean,
yeah.
he just doubles don't move him either.
Right.
And so I don't see him necessarily as competition for Xavier Williams, although we know the team likes Justin Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious because now you've got, you know, the two interior defensive lineman spots. And so we've got Naughty, Jones, Williams, and Hamilton already. I think a lot of teams do have five guys there. Well, maybe not five. I mean, that's a lot.
I was going to say, in a 4-3 setup, I mean, depending on how many ends,
right,
that might be a little overkill.
And that, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, because right now with ends, they've got Clark, Okafor, who obviously just signed a decent contract. And then you got Passanio, Speaks, and Ogba, who they just traded for. So you got five ends there. I don't think I'm forgetting anyone.
Adaocho.
Oh, yeah, Adaocho. And so you got a lot of bodies there right now.
They definitely do. Before we get rolling about how he can start to make a progression, we'll talk about that after we come back from this break. Hope you guys are enjoying today's show. We want to let you know that we're going to be with you every day of the week, all off season long, just like we are during the football season. So make sure you're subscribed. Send your questions to Seth at Real Minnesota Chiefs Fan on Twitter and check out Ryan's live Q&A sessions Monday nights on the RGR Football channel on YouTube.
But I think he is a guy who could potentially come in. And again, you never know, especially with the jump up in competition. We won't know until the rookie minicamp, I think, will be telling. Mm-hmm. He is someone I'm going to be keeping an eye on every step of the way. Because if I hear at the minicamp, like, oh, man, you know, he's got stuff to work on, but there he just can't be blocked sometimes, that'll be encouraging. Then OTAs, we'll see, right? And then, you know, once pads come on, that's obviously the big moment. And yeah, and we'll just see. In preseason, he's going to be someone I'm going to have my eye on.
Have to, because he's going to have to make that leap. He's got that long. Once he starts making contact with Chiefs players and getting in that grind, that's when he can make his progression.
Right. And so it'll be super interesting. He seems pretty raw, which is interesting because he played all 4 years, but he does still seem like he relies a little more on his quickness than mm-hmm. necessarily having a pass rush plan. Yeah. And that's what I want to see, because with his quickness and the upper body strength he's already shown, he ought to be able to transition from speed to power moves. Like you talked about him flashing a really good long arm. That should be a perfect complement to some of these stutter steps he's got, to where he, you know, you get the lineman shuffling his feet and then you just drive into him, because he's got really good natural pad level too, being only 6 foot.
Yeah. Does he remind you of anyone?
Not off the top of my head, I don't think. I couldn't think of a good comparison for him. I think with the way he moves so nimbly, it reminds me of Poe.
When I looked at his Saluki's film, I think it was the Saluki's he was playing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help, and it's a little bit of a stretch, but think of a quicker Sean Smith. That's what he looked like to me.
And man, that would be great. Sean Smith was a dog, man. I mean, that's, and he really, you know, it would have been nice if the Chiefs could have kept him around a little longer, because I mean, he was strong against the run, decent pass rusher. And that's the thing, you know, people think of his pass rush because he's got quick feet and stuff, but as a gap shooter, he was stronger as a run defender, in my opinion. He was a big reason why NDSU didn't run all over them.
Ah, okay.
And so
I have to go watch that one in particular.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a good one to watch to see some of the pros and cons, because they adjusted for him and started sending a lot more blockers his way. Mm. And so there's good film. I'm really excited about him. You know, you and I really think their first three picks, it'll be interesting. I think a lot of it will depend on whether they just intend on using Thornhill as a deep safety.
Yeah.
And they don't try to get too cute with him. I think if they do that and Hardman does what I think he's going to, I think this could be like last year's draft class. That was more about, it felt like future years. I feel like this draft class could be a little more of an immediate impact one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think your newly found son is going to be a large part of that.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations on signing the adoption papers.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I hope he makes me as proud as the last one.
Well, hey, somebody warn Colin before Seth runs into him. So,
yeah, I know. I better be careful, because, you know, Mitch had a great sense of humor about that bit.
Right.
And so I better be careful. You know, I'm going to end up like, you know, blocked or something on Twitter. And like, will someone please explain to him what's happening here?
Don't panic, Colin. It's going to be all right. He's not a stalker. Oh, that's it for us today, folks. Thanks for joining. We will be back with you tomorrow. Seth's got a mailbag coming up, so stay tuned. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.